Federal Labor is promising to set up a special National Principals Academy to give school leaders advanced training in leadership and teaching. It argues that there's a big knock-on effect for students, that high-performing leaders mean better-performing pupils. It's also promising a big funding boost of $300 million to support disabled students. Joining us now to discuss that and other issues is the Deputy Labor Leader and Shadow Education Minister, Tania Plibersek. Good morning. Welcome back to AM.
Good morning, Sabra.
On the Principals Academy, will students' academic achievement improve as a result?
Yes, in fact, it's one of the most important improvements we can make for students. The most important feature in student success outside their home environment is the teacher in the classroom. And the biggest educational impact is from principals who can get what's called collective teacher efficacy. It means all of the teachers in the school working together to teach every child every day. We've got a real shortage of principals coming up. It's an ageing workforce. We don't have a lot of new people going into it. And one of the really concerning things is fewer than a quarter of new principals actually get training. There is some fantastic training out there, but it's very haphazard. It varies from state to state. It varies from system to system. And knowing how important a great school leader is, we think it's an important thing for the Commonwealth to step up and support these efforts.
Yeah, that's a key point that you just mentioned there. States historically are responsible for state schools. A lot of people would think, well, why should the federal government, why should taxpayers foot the bill for this?
Because they're all our kids. We've got 2.5 million.
That's a state responsibility.
Well, it's not. It's a shared responsibility. It's always been a shared responsibility. And frankly, it's only Liberal governments who try and pretend public education is the responsibility solely of the states. But even this Liberal government contributes some funding to states. And I think the role for the Commonwealth is as a funder, but it is also as a leader of innovation across our school system. It is a really unique role that the Commonwealth can play to get what's really great about what's happening across our states and territories and make sure that that practice is spread to all our schools. Really, our vision is that every school, your local school, will be as good as any school in the world. And to do that, we really have to focus on teaching and we have to focus on school leadership.
You're also announcing today $300 million for additional supports for disabled students in schools. And again, many Australians would wonder, well, hang on, under the Gonski funding, more money is going to disabled students, and also the NDIS is supposed to be supporting extra aids and supports for kids in school. So again, why more money?
Because it's just such an enormous area of need. Needs-based funding began to address this. One of the loadings that came on top of the schooling resource standard was for disability, but the data we have is really still very patchy. The government's been working on this nationally consistent data collection for students with disability. We've seen the number of students that are identified as having a disability almost double, but funding's only gone up about 7%. So there's something that doesn't match up there. If you go into schools, if you talk to parents of children with a disability, they will tell you again and again that the resources they have to teach their child is not enough. So this allows extra teachers, extra teachers' aides. It allows more training for existing principals and teachers, because a lot feel quite at sea if they have a child come to the school who has a particular learning need and a need for particular accommodation within the school. They don't know how to deal with that. So it's existing training and also physical aids, things that help kids learn. Computer programs and physical changes to classrooms that help kids learn.
You touched on earlier that there is an ageing workforce, and you announced earlier this week a bursary incentive to attract the best and brightest into teaching degrees. Why is demand from our best and brightest so low that teaching now attracts such a low ATAR and we aren't getting the best and brightest?
Well, I think universities do have to work with us as a government to increase the entry scores into teaching degrees, and I've been very clear about that. There are individuals who maybe bomb out in the HSC, who don't do well, who would make great teachers, but the problem here is the trend. The trend is the marks are getting lower and lower, and we cannot accept that as a nation. I think one of the reasons, of course, is that people have so many more choices today. 30 years ago, 40 years ago, if you were a smart woman, you had two options available to you. It was teaching and nursing. And getting into university was much harder generally for working class people. If you're working class now, if you're a woman now, the world's your oyster. You can pursue any sort of professional career. So we need teaching to compete with courses like veterinary science, dentistry, medicine, the courses that kids are competing to get into. We want teaching to be amongst those courses.
On to other issues before Parliament, and just been before Parliament. How comfortable is the left faction of Labor with asylum seekers from Manus and Nauru being sent to Christmas Island for medical assistance?
Well, I think it's up to the government to explain how people who couldn't get proper medical treatment on Manus Island or Nauru can somehow get proper treatment on Christmas Island, which of course has good but limited medical treatment available.
But the Labor left wanted this policy ended and argued for that at the Labor conference.
And we came to a very good position across the Labor Party, which is that people who needed medical treatment would be brought to Australia for that treatment on the recommendation of doctors. And Sabra, the problem here is it's not just the Labor Party that's decided that, it's the Parliament. The Parliament of Australia has made that decision.
So is it,
and the way the government is responding to the Parliament of Australia is to throw any sort of complication into the mix that they can to try and whip up a scare campaign.
Is there a chance that Labor's misread the mood on this, that it could cost you seats?
I think the important thing to do is do what's right. We've got people on Manus Island and Nauru who've been there close to 6 years. This government has comprehensively failed to find new homes, third country resettlement for most of those people. It continues to refuse the offer from New Zealand to resettle people. The health of people who've been there for 6 years is really compromised, and we cannot allow that as Australians.
Tanya Plibersek, thanks for joining AM this morning.
Thank you, Sabra.